Psalms 126, the Bible says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. Our Father, we sure do thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for the good testimonies we've enjoyed tonight. Lord, not one person brought attention to self. Everybody praised the Lord and told of your excellent greatness and what great things you've done. God, thank you for the good singing, how our hearts have been uplifted from the singing. God, thank you just for the good fellowship of being with the people of God. We are a blessed people. Lord, of all the people on the face of the earth, just how few actually get to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we're blessed tonight. We know that you desire all to do so. So God, help us to do our part so more can come into the fold. Now, Father, bless those that are working with the children, bless those that are working with the teens, and God, certainly bless the preaching of the Word of God now. And God will not fail to bless you and praise you for what great things you do, for it's in the wonderful and glorious name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen and amen. How many of you like bread? Amen. How many of you like good bread? Like old Charlie's bread. Isn't that good bread? Huh? Man, back when I used to work a job, Miss Nett would tell me on the way home, stop and get some of them rolls and some of that soup, you know, and we could live on that stuff. I mean, don't you like good bread? Did you ever think that somebody somewhere had to put some seed in the ground? And then somebody had to harvest the seed. And then somebody had to take that seed and make the flour and put the yeast to it and have the bread so you can enjoy it. We don't think about that much. We come to church, we don't think about the seed that was planted in order for us to hear. We don't think about somebody harvested us and brought us out of the fields of sin. We don't think about all that goes in to what it takes to worship. And can I say there are countless of fields of labor out there that nobody's planting any seed. I want you to notice a few things by way of an introduction from this great portion of Scripture. The first thing I want you to notice is the bondage. Look in verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Zion's the city of God. Zion's Jerusalem. And here we find they had been in captivity. They had been in bondage. You remember when you was in bondage? Remember when you were bound by sin and by shame and by guilt? Some of you wanted a better life. You didn't know how to get it. Some of you thought it would never get any better. You thought that this is all your life would ever be. Do you remember the bondage? They had been in bondage. Now notice the blessing. Look at the blessing. First of all, there's the blessing in turning. Look what it said. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Aren't you glad for the day that he came, revealed himself, and you turned from that life of sin and turned to the Lord? What a blessing. You're here tonight singing the old songs of Zion. You're here tonight testifying of the goodness of God. You're here tonight to worship because your life's not what it used to be. Because God came and turned your old life around. You once were a sinner, now you're a saint. You once were headed to hell. Now you're headed to heaven. You're blessed tonight just because God looked your way. There's the blessing of turning, but there's also the blessing of telling. Look again in verse number 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Aren't you glad that you had a song to sing and something to tell about? You had joy in your life. I mean, you could tell others, I used to be bound, but now I'm free because Jesus passed by my way. I like that song, Brother Brian. If I'm dreaming, let me dream on. Then there's the blessing of the testimony. Now look at this. This is why I preach so hard on being conformed and preach so hard on shining as a light, preach so hard on being what God intends for you and I to be, Christ-like. Here's the difference. Look at verse number 2. It says, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Can I say, when the heathen starts saying, look at that crowd, God's done something good, then we can step back and say, the Lord has done good things for us. And we are glad. Can I say, what a testimony when the heathen starts talking about how good God's blessed you. That's a wonderful testimony. So we see the bondage. We see the blessing. Now notice the backsliding. Look at verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. You see, we see in verse number 1, the Lord turned them again from their captivity. Now the psalmist is crying for him to turn them again. Why? Because they'd forgot all the blessing. And now they're back in captivity. They're back in bondage. And can I say, if you're not careful, you'll take for granted the blessings of God, and all of a sudden, one step leads to a far country, and then another step leads to a far country, and all of a sudden you're bound up again, not by sin that's going to drag you off to hell, but you're bound up with the things of the world where you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, the fullness of Christ. And it just takes just a little drifting, just a head to just a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you're all bound again. Can I say? It's not a difficult thing to end up in a far country. We're so inundated with so much that can overload us that all it takes is for you to just take your eyes off Jesus for a second and glimpse some other way, and you'll be headed down that path which leads to bondage again. We see they're backsliding. They took for granted the goodness of God, and now they're back in captivity. All you got to do is quit thanking God for being good to you. All you got to do is quit doing what Brother Phil said, getting up and blessing the Lord for a song every day. All you got to do is just take your eyes off how good He's been and what all He's capable of doing in your life. All you got to do is just take one step away from Him, and that leads to another and leads to another. You know, our church will be filled tonight with folks that took too many steps. Now they feel ashamed. Now they feel guilty. Now they feel like they can never face folks again. Now they feel like God's angry with them and God doesn't love them anymore. And we know God does love them. We know we love them and we miss them. But you see, when you get all bound up, you don't think the way that God intends for you to think. You know, there are folks that get bound up over some of the littlest things. But can I say, what may be little to you and I might be big to them. We see the backsliding. Now notice the brokenness in verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Notice the bearing in verse number 6. He that goeth forth, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, let me show you something God showed me. The harvest doesn't come in the blessing. You see them bringing their sheaves in verse number 6. You don't see them bringing sheaves in verse number 4 when they're rejoicing, when they're in the blessing. They bring forth the sheaves, but in the bearing. It wasn't until they got broken and they bared the precious seed did they bring the sheaves. And sometimes God breaks us in our bondage so we'll go and bear forth precious seed and bring our sheaves with them. Now this morning, the last point of the message was we got to be cross bearers. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Tonight I want to preach on the ministry of bearing. The ministry of bearing. Can I say, you don't have to be called to preach to be a minister of the gospel of Christ. You don't have to be gifted to teach to be a minister of Jesus Christ. You don't have to meet the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 to be a minister of Jesus Christ. All you've got to be is a willing vessel that has a burden to help somebody, and Jesus will use you to minister to their soul. You know, in the Bible, there were ladies who ministered to the men by serving them meals, by helping them to gain the nutrition they needed to go back and preach the gospel. There are many ways you can benefit the cause of Christ in being a minister. And there is a ministry in bearing. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, the sobbing and bearing. Can I say in verse number 5 again it says, and this is not a statement just thrown in the Bible. This is a promise that you can hang your hat on. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Tears are language that God understands. In Psalms, I believe it's chapter 58 and verse 6, or it's chapter 56 and verse 8, one way or the other, the psalmist David says, put thou my tears in a bottle, are they not in your book? Can I say God records every tear that is shed by one of his children? He's got a tear bottle that he stores them up. They speak volumes to God. The Bible says God is nigh them of a broken heart and saveth such of a contrite spirit. Friend, when you are broken enough to weep over it, you get God's attention. Because when you become broken and you become willing to weep for something that is dear to you, you are on the right track to be able to bear and minister. Because God never uses somebody full of pride, but God always uses folks that are broken. And I say there is sobbing and bearing. When you get under a load, you'll weep over it. You may not weep openly, but you'll weep inwardly when your heart's ripped in two. All across this building, we've got folks that got children that aren't saved. We got folks that have grown children that are away from God tonight. We have folks that have children that are facing dire things that they need God in their life, but God's not within a million miles of them. Those parents here tonight's hearts are broken for their children. They're sobbing and bearing. Can I say, when you weep over somebody, they see you care. When you're broken over somebody, God knows you care. There's the sobbing and bearing. I want you to notice the seed of bearing. Look what it says in verse number 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. There it is again. I mean, if God said it one time, is that not enough? But here he mentions it again, the very next verse. He's talking about weeping. He said, bearing precious seed. He didn't say bearing any seed. You know what? You can sow weeds. You know what you're going to get? Weeds. There's precious seed. Seed that brings forth life. Seed that sustains. Seed that secures. Seed that saves. I'm talking about the seed of the Word of God. We're begotten by the Word of God. Hey, in the parable of the sower, Jesus in Matthew 13 says, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seeds. And there's four types of ground that the seed lodges in. But listen, thank God for good ground. Hey, you may sow some seed and you don't see much fruit from it. Keep sowing the seed. Keep weeping over the seed. Keep putting the seed out. Because somewhere along the line, it's going to stick. It's going to take root. And it's going to burst forth. And there'll be fruit abounding from that seed. I've tried to encourage people over the years that fruit is of the Lord. We can't produce anything. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. But he told us to sow. Just sow. Keep putting the seed out. Whether or not anything comes up, that's between them and God. Just keep putting the seed out. Keep praying over the seed. Keep being broken over the seed. Keep putting the seed out, and God gives the increase. It's precious seed. It's the most valuable commodity in the universe. I told my Sunday school class today, you could have a room full of gold. It's not worth as much as this. Amen. This is worth more than all the world. Amen. And can I say, the Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away, but you can still stand on the Word of God. It's precious. And this has the words of life. And can I say, it's this precious seed that convicts a sinner of their sin. It's this precious seed that draws a sinner to salvation. It's this precious seed that will take a sinner, make him a saint. Keep bearing precious seed. And can I say, there's the seed of bearing. You got to get the seed out. Now, I know there's some of you, you're a little backwards. Just get a broken heart for sinners and pass out tracts. Plant the seed. Just plant the seed. Anybody ever go through a drive-thru? keep some seat, keep some tracks in your door. When they give you a change, just have them say, read this on your break. That's all you got to say. How many tracks we pass out? I don't know. We had a lot of drive-thrus. Not one time did I have anybody say, no, I don't want that stuff, did we? Most of them, they thanked me, didn't they? They sure did. Now, whether or not they read, it's between them and God. Just bear some seed. There's the precious seed. I seen Brother Josh filling up the tracks out there earlier today. They're there. You know what? They're not doing that table any good, but they'll do center some good. There's the sobbing and bearing. There's the seed of bearing, but then there's the sowing of bearing. Look what it says in verse number 5 again. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. You got to sow it. You got to put it in the ground. You know, if you've got a silo full of seed, it doesn't do any good unless you're a mouse or something that gets in there and likes to eat seed. You got to put it in the ground. I'm reminded over there in Haggai chapter number 2. He tells them they're going to see greater glory. He's talking about the temple. Solomon's temple's been destroyed. And he said there's coming a temple that's going to be greater than that. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And can I say, hallelujah, we have seen greater glory than Solomon. And he talks about all the kinds of things there. And then they're rejoicing, talking about how great they got it. And he says, why is there yet seed in the barn? It's getting close to harvest time. They hadn't even planted. They'd been so busy dwelling in their sealed houses and putting their wages in a bag of holes, they'd forgot to put the seed in the ground. Then he's going to starve to death. You know why a lot of churches are drying up on the vine? They're not planting any seed. I was talking to preachers that preach a lot of meetings down there in camp meeting. You know what they said? They said going in churches and congregations are dying off. You know why? Nobody planting seed. You know how many pastors I know? A bunch. You know how many of them have visitation programs at all? Very few. And they wonder what's wrong. They said people don't come out. What good's the seed in the barn? Listen, you have a ministry in bearing. You can hand out a tract. You can give somebody a Bible. We got Bibles. You know somebody needs a Bible? We'll give them a Bible. What's wrong with taking a Bible and underlining all the verses about salvation, write them in the front of the Bible, say, here, I just had a burden for you, give them that. Maybe a coworker, maybe a family member, say, here, read them verses I gave. You never know what God's going to do with the seed. But I tell you what he won't do, he won't take it off that table and plant it. He told us to do it. Sow the seed. Thank God we got children. Thank God we got some teens. But we don't have enough. Look around, there's empty pews. God help us to sow the seed. There's a ministry of bearing. There's the sobbing and bearing. There's the seed of bearing. There's the sowing of bearing. And then we see the sheaves because of the bearing. He says that he that soweth or goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now can I say, every farmer when he plants seed expects a harvest in the fall. And sometimes there can be tremendous storms come and wipe out his crop. But most of the time he has some crop in the fall. Sometimes he has a great harvest. Sometimes just a meek harvest. But he expects a harvest because he's planting some seed. Can I say, when we plant seed, we ought to expect a harvest.
Yes. Amen.
Now you may not see it in this life. But who knows? Maybe some of them tracts you handed out, somebody got saved, end up going to church with the family. You won't know till you get to heaven. But I'm here to tell you, I've seen God honor sowing the seed. Can I say this? This is how good God is. A lot of times the people you give seed to, you never see them again, but God will send somebody else. I've seen that so many times. If you're faithful to go and sow, God's faithful to send folks in. I never knew who Brother Tony was. I didn't know him from anybody. But God sent him here. Why? Because he was hungry. And God said, there's some bread over there. And that's what it was. We didn't knock on his door. I'd never been to Erlanger until after I knew you had that part where you live. Never been there off Stevenson. And after I went down that driveway, I said, I ain't going back. Lord have mercy, got to get four-wheel drive, get up his driveway. No, but God knew that he needed this place. God knew we needed him. God's the one that puts all that together. Most of you in here, our church didn't knock on your door, but God knew you needed to be here. God takes care of all that. God's the one that gives the sheaves when you're faithful to sow. Now, I will say this. You don't sow potatoes and reap green beans. You put green beans in the ground, when them vines start coming up, you get them up off the ground so they can grow green beans. You put potatoes in the ground, then you dig them up and potatoes come out. You don't sow the wrong seed and get the right crop. Are you listening? You got to sow precious seed. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I have worked a garden. My granddaddy used to kill me every summer working a garden. So I was convinced when I grew up I wasn't having no garden. I'll never forget one of the most humiliating things in my life. I'm 17 years old. I'm a strapping athlete. I was fit. I was fine. I was great. My grandpa calls me up and says, "Boy, meet me early tomorrow." That usually means meet him early, and I'm going to be gone all day. So I went. He already had his Buick LeSabre 454 loaded up. And I took off with him. So where are we going? He said, "We're going up to the widow lady's house." We had a widow lady in the church who had a garden about as big as my granddaddy's. I mean, it was an acre if it was an inch. Well, she's old, and he wanted us to pick her green beans. So there's this old widow lady. She's got 1 foot in the grave. And my granddaddy, who wasn't no spring chicken, and they picked 10 times the beans I did. I'm out there sweating, trying to pick them. I'm going at it, picking them stupid beans, and they're going at it. And then I had to go home and break them. I said, "There'll be no gardens in my future. Are you listening?" You want to have a harvest, it takes some work. But it's worth it. I didn't like picking them. I didn't like snapping them. But I sure did like eating them. And they're a lot better than we had last week, huh? Do I get an amen? We was out to eat the last week, and they brought us some green beans. That they were tree trunks. They crunched. Green beans don't crunch. And they have the strings off of them. Those didn't. Got the whole bean. You know, I felt like Clark Griswold trying to eat that turkey. It was bad. I'm just trying to tell you. Take some work, but it's worth it. You know, them old-timers appreciated the things of God. I watched my granddaddy dig up onions and knock the roots off of them, eat them right out of the garden. I watched Miss Lynn pick a tomato and cut it open, put salt on it, eat it right out of the garden. I would never eat one of them things. That's a fruit. I'm just trying to help you. Isn't it something about homegrown vegetables? You know, just something about the real thing, where you get the corn on the cob and you cut it off and you put it in, you fix it. I'm just saying there's just something about stuff that comes from precious seed. There's nothing like when the harvest comes in. Isn't it wonderful when you see somebody come in and get born again? Isn't it wonderful when you see somebody's life change that you just had a small part in? It's something wonderful. Now listen, I got a couple of things I'll be done. The ministry of bearing has some responsibility in order to bear. First of all, one must be broken for not bearing. Brother Lawrence just sang that song. First time I ever heard that song. Remember Miss Lynn, Brother Melvin's preacher revival, Jim Blankenship sang that song. First time I ever heard that song. My fields are white. Or my harvest is white, my fields are empty. Can I say that Jesus said the night time cometh when no man can work? Now I want you to think right now how long you've been saved. Just think, how long have you been saved in your mind? How many opportunities have you had to sow and you didn't sow? See, in order to be a true bearer and get into the ministry of bearing, you've got to become broken for not bearing. That's where verse 5 comes in. They sowed in tears because they were broken for the fact they got in a place where they were backslid and they hadn't been doing what they should have been doing. And how many times do we let life take hold of us and we don't do what God really wants us to do? A good place to become a good minister for bearing is to get broken for not bearing. And I say, in order to bear, one must have a burden for others. You can't, and let me just restate that, you won't sow seed if you don't have a burden to see people saved. Week in and week out, those tracks are out there. And a lot of people just go right by them. Can I say, every tract out there has a clear-cut presentation of the gospel. It may not cause them to get saved, but it'll cause them to think about getting saved. You'll never pass one out unless you get a burden to see somebody saved. See, the problem is if you're not careful, you'll get so used to eating microwave food, you won't have a longing for the real stuff. And the problem is you'll go so long without seeing people saved, you'll get used to eating the slop of the world, you won't desire a harvest from God. You know why some people never truly get involved in church? Because they don't invest in bearing. When you see lives are at stake and you can have a part in that, you can make a great difference. Everybody in here can reach somebody. There are people you can reach I could never reach. There are some people got to hang out with me 6 weeks before they'll even listen to me. Ask Miss Crystal, huh? But they might listen to you. It's amazing, Miss Annette, when folks first come, she gets all kinds of questions about me. How in the world do you live with him? She said, he's not like that at home. Why? Because she cracks a mean whip. That's why. Huh? But see, there are folks you can win. There are places you can go that I can't go. But see, somewhere we got it in the mentality because we pay the preacher a salary. It's his job to sow the seed. It's everybody's job to sow the seed. And I challenge you to go read Acts chapter 6. You'll find the preacher's responsibilities will be given to prayer and studying the Word of God. Can I say, I don't mind sowing seed because I love seeing people become sheaves. Oh, you got to be broken for not bearing. You got to have a burden for others, but then you got to beckon to the will of the work of bearing. You see, God commissioned us all. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, but you've got to beckon to God's will of the work, because it takes work. I left that garden that day whipped, not because of the heat, not because of the sun, but because two old people were sitting on the porch drinking some lemonade, and I was only halfway done with my row. I realized there was a lot of work. You know why they got there first? Because they'd been working that field a long time. They knew all them techniques. They used to get 5 and 6 beans at a time. I was picking them one at a time. Do the math. They knew what they were doing. Takes work. And can I say, a little hard work never hurt anybody. Aren't you glad somebody worked for you? Somebody prayed for you. Somebody invested in you. Somebody shared the Word of God with you. Somebody planted a little seed in your mind. Somebody did some work for you. Brother Clint, tell you, somebody used to come by and pick him up, bring him to church. Somebody invested in you, did some work. Somebody studied and taught you. Somebody studied and preached to you. Somebody prayed for you. There was some work. Well, you got to Sign up to do the work. The work may cost you time on your knees. It may cost you time passing out tracts. It may cost you some time just sitting down and talking with people and telling them what God did for you. But it's worth the work when you see folks give their life to Jesus. It's worth the work when you invest yourself and you see God start saving folks. It's worth the work. There's a ministry in bearing. If there's one thing that lacks in most churches and most people's lives, is they bear a lot of things of the world, but they don't bear the things of God. My challenge tonight is get involved in this ministry of bearing. Bear precious seed. Bear somebody's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear your cross, your thorn, and your flesh. Just bear. Used to say, grin and bear it. Just bear it and watch and see the blessings of God. Can I say, for every blow that Satan throws at you, for every storm that beats on you, for every burden you're asked to carry, the blessings of God far outweigh anything that you'll face. There's not a person in here that hadn't faced a whole lot in your Christian life. But when you stand back and you look at all the hurt and all the shame and all the agony, you will say, but Jesus has been good to me. Amen. And He has been good to all of us. And when He starts to bless, it's kind of like a mama after she has a baby. About 6 months, a year later, she forgets all the travail, but she sure does enjoy the blessing of it. All except Emily. Emily says she ain't having no more. She said, this is it. She said, the first couple days I was home, she said, I went in psychotic or something. How was it? She said, she went crazy. She said, no, what is this changing all this, our life all over? She just couldn't believe all the change. She said, there's no way she could handle two. But I'm going to remind her of that in about 2 years when she comes in. She said, Brother Doug, Riker's going to have a little sister. You name her Striker. But you see, there's something about the blessings make you forget the travail and the trauma. Now, when you're facing the trauma, you think the sun will never shine again. But when God gets the blessing, the trauma subsides. There's a ministry in bearing. I challenge you as your pastor. Get involved in bearing precious seed. Get involved in sowing the gospel. Take a handful of tracts and say, God, who can I give this to? You'll be amazed. He'll open doors. He'll hand it, and people will be so nice to you. And they'll thank you. And you never know. You just might rescue the perishing by doing so. But I promise you this, you'll get a sense of gratification because you were obedient to the Great Commission. Get broken and weep over the seed. Take the seed, and you'll bring sheaves home with you. The bottom line, you know this. The only thing that's going to matter when we get to heaven is who we take with us. Who'd you take with you? And that's all that matters. Most gratifying thing for a preacher, and listen, preachers, they carry some burdens. People confide in them and tell them of heartaches and storms, and your heart breaks for them, and you don't have words to help them. And then you have folks that you preach to and you've tried to bring along the way, and then all of a sudden they get out and get gone, and that breaks your heart. You stand and you preach and you know there's people lost and those people leave lost. That breaks your heart. But some of the gratifying things for a preacher is when people listen and they just do what Jesus says. It makes it worth it. And can I say, when you do what Jesus says and it affects somebody else, it makes it worth it. Aren't you glad somebody bared some seed your way? Why don't you repay them by bearing some ministry and some seed their way? Let's all stand tonight. Maybe you need to come say, Lord, just help me. Just put somebody in my heart that I can give a tract to, or somebody in my heart that I can witness to, somebody in my heart that I can just invite to church. Because if God puts them on your heart, that means He's already working on their heart. Maybe you need to come and say, God, just help me do a better job. Maybe you need to come and say, God, forgive me of all the time I've wasted not bearing precious seed. Maybe tonight He spoke to you about something else. You just mind the Lord. Can I say there's nothing more gratifying than doing something for Jesus, and we all can do something for Jesus. While folks are praying, Brother Ray, come get a song. And as they're picking out a song, let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, sometimes we feel so inadequate for the work. Lord, what can I do? But Lord, there's something we all can do. We can bear some seed. Lord, don't take much. Put seed in the ground. So God, help us to be willing to bear precious seed. Lord, the seed you've given us is so wonderful. And it changes lives. And it sustains and secures. So God, I pray you'd help us all to do more to work your fields. Lord, there's so many people out there that are hurting and don't know where to turn. So many people facing heartache and have no idea that you care. Lord, help us to let them know Jesus cares. Help us, Lord, to do our part. Lord, we don't have to do much, just do our part. Lord, you do the hard parts. So give us a desire. Help folks. Lord, I pray for those that, Lord, used to come, and Lord, they don't come anymore. I'm thinking of families right now. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, while they're out there, you just in your tender mercy, let them know you love them and you miss them. Lord, if they come back, we'll be quick to tell them we love them and we miss them. God, there's mamas and daddies here heartbroken because their children's not in church. Lord, there's mamas and daddies heartbroken because their children may be lost. I mean, grandmas and grandpas heartbroken over their family. So, God, I pray, Lord, we can make a difference in these days. We'd see a balm of Gilead applied to these broken hearts by seeing their loved ones, Lord, get in church and get, Lord, in the center of Thy will. And bless this invitation. Open doors for us to bear some seed. Help us to take root and hold of the ministry of bearing. Help us to bear a cross. Help us, Lord, to bear one another's burdens. And help us to be all you'd have us to be now. Bless as only you can this invitation. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.